In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, this story about the son of the man who is a lunatic is very familiar to us. And we know its details, I hope. I hope you know its details very well. And also the teaching about prayer and fasting and of faith. We've talked about those things often. Let's talk about something else today, something just a little bit different, related, as part of this story. And that is that God receives even the smallest amount of our effort. And especially when we're beginners, and we're all beginners. None of us are at the point where God withdraws his grace from us because we're children still. But when you're a beginner, the Lord, as you give him something, just something small, reacts in a warm and a fatherly way so that you're encouraged. If you look carefully, you'll see this. If you're not seeing this, then you must do some things to read the scripture a little bit more with attention, with looking for consolation, and also fasting and coming to the services, confession, communion, all those things. There's things that we always talk about. But they're not just things to do because they're on a checklist of stuff. We do them because what we're looking for consolation. We're looking for peace. Peace is only possible through our Lord. We had a reading today where it spoke about, since he had no greater to swear by, he swore by himself. There is no greater than God. There is no source of peace except God. Now we can pursue peace in many different ways. And they all these ways bring us some measure of temporary peace. But always with a great price to pay. The only way to obtain true peace is through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that, although in principle it is simple, in practice it is very difficult and complex because of our passions. Let us look at how the Lord reacted to this man, what he knew about him, and yet how he reacted to him. And let us put ourselves in his place, in this man's place. Because, of course, you've heard me say many times, it's very important. When you read the scriptures, read them with yourself in mind. Read them as if they are speaking to you, as if the Lord is saying these things to you for your benefit, and they apply to you. And so, let us be this man now. Thank God that none of us has a demon-possessed child. But this man did. He had a terrible burden in his life. And his child would throw himself into the fire and into the water and wouldn't eat and was wasting away. He wouldn't speak. He was dying and dying in a horrible way. And the man couldn't do anything about it. Now, one can argue that this man's sins had something to do with it, and they probably did by the way the Lord addressed him. When he said, "O faithless and perverse generation," he was speaking to the man and to the Jews around who were questioning the Lord, trying to trip him up. So, yes, sometimes our own sins can terribly affect our children. But nonetheless, this man loved his child. And he had a terrible burden and he didn't know how to have it fixed. So the Lord goes up to the mountain, Mount Tabor, with his three disciples. And in the meantime, this man comes to the other remaining disciples. And he speaks to them and asks them to heal his son. And they weren't able to do it. So can you imagine? This man who had heard about so many healings by so many people. And his son remained unhealed. The despair that must have been in his heart. The despondency. The feeling of, no matter what I do, things are never going to be better. But the Lord came back from the mountain. And so the man, probably in one last effort, went to the Lord, thinking this was his last chance. And his faith about this encounter was not very strong at all. In fact, he really didn't expect success, because he said to him, to our Lord, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion upon us and help us." This is truly the cry of a desperate and basically unbelieving person. Sometimes our sins, sometimes our circumstances in life that may or may not be related to our sins, cause us to have a sense of deep despondency. I'm not talking about depression where you're always sad, but I'm talking about a sense that things are not going to get better. Things are always going to be this way. And this man had that feeling. He went to the Lord, but not with much belief at all. And so what did the Lord say to him? At least he'd come, right? So the Lord reacted to him with warmth. And I imagine in my mind's eye when I read these words that he must have probably looked squarely at the man, perhaps held him by the shoulder, and looked in his eyes with love and with acceptance and said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." So he reacted to the man's partial belief, semi-belief, weak belief, with warmth and with acceptance. And this is what the Lord does with us, if we listen to it carefully enough. I happen to know, as a confessor, that a lot of times you don't feel this reaction of the Lord. You should look for it, because it should be happening daily, that you should be getting some consolation from the Lord, that although you're a sinner, and although you're weak and doing things over and over again that you shouldn't be doing, trying to change and not really changing very much, the Lord is telling you, all things are possible if you believe. And you must believe this. And you must choose to believe it. Because we know in our heart the Lord can do anything, but we somehow make ourselves an exception. As if the Lord can do anything for anybody else, but he's not going to do for me. Almost in a superstitious kind of way. I've seen this many times. We must choose to believe. The Lord wants to help us and will help us. So how does the man reply? He is comforted a small amount, because he says, "I believe." And then he says, without any qualification, without any, "if you could do this," he says, actually boldly, "help my unbelief." And of course, the Lord then, after a small passage of time, healed his son completely. This scenario happens to us, brothers and sisters, if you look carefully enough, if you look in your life. None of us can say we believe in God completely. We would be liars if we said that. Because if you believe in God, that means you would follow him in all things and obey all of his commandments and have no doubts in your heart. But we know. And when we look in our heart, there's doubts in our heart. So there is unbelief. So let us go to the Lord and say, "I believe, help my unbelief." And the Lord will react always to that prayer. He will always help you. Now, we live in a culture that is, in many ways, all or nothing. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be something, always. It's better to do a very little thing than to not do a big thing. So, if you have had a terrible day, you didn't say your prayers in the morning, you've been cussing at people in traffic, you broke the fast, you've been irritated, you got in an argument with someone, in the evening, rather than to think the day is a total loss, I'm just going to go to bed, or I'm going to watch TV, or I'm going to have a drink, instead, say some prayers. Even if it is only the Our Father, even if it is only to do a prostration in this time of year, to do the prayer of Saint Ephrem, And perhaps it doesn't feel very fulfilling to you. And perhaps your heart doesn't feel like it's in it. But the fact that you are trying to force your heart to be in it is you being this man saying, I believe, help my unbelief. And the Lord reacted to that man, and he will to you. Now, we all have our bad days. Sometimes we have our bad weeks, our bad years. But if we struggle to follow something of the Lord, he will help us to follow more. This is a basic principle of life that we apply to other things, but we don't apply to our spiritual life very well. If you can do a little thing, do it. Absolutely. Don't think that it's not enough. Don't think that you've sort of made it inconsequential by all the other dumb stuff you did today. Do the little thing. If you did not fast for two meals, fast for the third. If you didn't say your prayers in the morning, say something at night. If you've been unkind, apologize. If you have someone in your heart that makes your heart feel dark because you're angry at that person, at least say one prayer for that person that day. Even if it does not feel sincere, make yourself do it. Because then you are this man saying, I believe, help my unbelief. I am a Christian, but I don't act like one. Help me to act like one. I want to pray, but I pray hardly at all. I want to be pure in my thoughts. And I sometimes do have a pure thought, but for the most part, my thoughts are not pure. You are being this man when you are taking a little thing and offering it to the Lord. Now, we don't offer little things to the Lord saying, that's enough. That's not what this man did. He, in essence, was saying, I believe poorly. I believe just a tiny, tiny bit, but I want to believe more. And so your actions are proving to the Lord, or really proving to yourself, though our Lord needs no proof, that you want to change. So do a little thing if you cannot do a big thing. And then there is a wonderful thing that happens when you do a little thing with attention. As best you can, gather your attention. Perfect attention? Of course not. Only the perfect have perfect attention. But you do a little thing, and then later on you can do a slightly bigger thing. And then an even bigger thing. And eventually you'll be doing great things. This is a principle that you must follow, and it works. It works faster for some because they take it more to heart and they force themselves more. And slower for others because they allow the cares of this world and their laziness and their despondency to crush out these beginnings. These little seedlings, chop them off instead of letting them grow a little bit more until they get big. This is part of the story that is being told today. There's a lot of other deep, important theology, and most of the time I would speak about those things because they're important. But as a pastor, I have seen that if I speak about the importance of fasting, those of you who have trouble fasting will not fast very much more. So what I hope as a pastor is that you fast at least a little bit more. And you believe that it will help you. Not fasting a little bit more and saying, well, that's enough, I've done plenty. You know, after all, I'm not even eating meat today. No. To say, I offer, O Lord, I'm a selfish, self-centered, belly-centered person. I let my belly rule me. But at least today, I will follow a part of the law, and I will not eat meat today. And God, help me as I make this poor offering. Help me to do better and to have more purity, more self-control later. And he will help you. It will happen. That, I think, is the most important part of this story. because it is true that our passions do depart us with prayer and fasting. It's absolutely true. But it is also true that in the beginning, when we have many passions, we need much encouragement. So let us listen to the Lord's encouragement. If we say to Him, "I believe, help my unbelief," He will respond every time. May God help you in all things.